Madison, a city known for its open-mindedness, a city of diversity, a city of many voices. This is Outreach, a positive voice for Madison's minority population. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll-free 877-235-1310. Now here's your host, Darrell Connor, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Good evening to a special Monday edition of Outreach. I'm your host, Darrell Connor. Thank you so much for joining us. The phone number to call is 321-1310 or 1-877-235-1310, or you can email us at outreach at wibamail.com. That email address, once again, is outreach at wibamail.com. Just want to send a couple of reminders to you. First of all, this is an abbreviated version of Outreach. We're going to take you up to around 6:40 p.m., and then it will be the Brewers versus the Cardinals on News Talk 1310 WIBA. This is the makeup game for the rainout last Friday. So Outreach will be on for roughly about 40 minutes or so, and then we'll take you right to Brewers versus Cardinals. The other reminder is WIBA has podcasting. Go to our website, WIBA.com, keyword podcast. You can download this show or other shows on your computer, iPod, or MP3 player. So WIBA.com, keyword podcast. My guest this evening, who will join us for the next 40 minutes or so, he became the superintendent of the Madison Metropolitan School District on July 1st of 2008, and he had previously served as superintendent of schools in the Green Bay Area Public School District since July 2001. He is Madison School Superintendent Dan Nierad. Dan joins us tonight on Outreach. Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you.
And thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on. I know that, you know, the first time we ran into each other was at the Chamber of Commerce dinner last fall, and we had talked about doing this. So I'm glad that I finally have a chance to have you on, hopefully not only tonight but many more to come.
Let's do that.
Absolutely. First of all, for the interest of folks who haven't heard your voice, who have seen your name around in the newspapers and may have seen you on television over the last several months, can you tell folks a little bit about yourself besides a little bit of the bio that I read about you?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, I'm a Wisconsin native. I grew up in Kenosha. Came to college here at University of Wisconsin-Madison and completed my first two degrees here, and then I went to live and work in the Green Bay community and spent my entire career prior to coming back here last July working for the Green Bay Area Public School District. I've been in education my entire career. I have a little different path than some superintendents because I come out of what's oftentimes referred to as student services work. My first two degrees were in social work here from UW-Madison, as I indicated. But, you know, I've been working in education. I've been working side-by-side teachers and principals my entire career, and now I'm back here. And so I'm thrilled to have this opportunity to provide leadership in the school district and in the community. And people have been very welcoming and have made me feel very much a part of this community, and I'm looking forward to working with this community to do good things for kids.
Has the transition from Green Bay to the Madison School District, has it been smooth for the most part?
You know, I feel it has been smooth. You know, obviously, we haven't moved for a while, and so, you know, kind of going through that for the, you know, first time in a long time.
Sure.
But, you know, in terms of, you know, how things have worked out, they've worked out very well. And as I've said, I think a lot of that in terms of, you know, the comfort level that I feel, it really goes to how people have reached out to me, have welcomed meeting and talking about kids and talking what we need to do on behalf of the kids of this community, things that we're doing well as things that we need to be doing better. And so I think there's been a really good response. There's been a long line of people that have wanted to have opportunity to come together and talk about kids. And my meeting with these people and organizations continue, and that's the way we'll do the work going forward.
Madison School Superintendent Dan Nierad joins us on Outreach on 1310 WIBA. Dan, what are some of the differences between the Green Bay School District and the Madison School District?
Well, first of all, if you don't mind, let me start with what I think are some of the similarities.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think both communities, in particular, as reflected by what's happened in the school district, have experienced very significant demographic shifts. And I guess my hope in coming here, because I've been a part of a community that, you know, prior to moving to Madison, that has changed demographically, you know, my hope is that I can add value to the changes that have occurred here and the changes that are occurring here. I would say the similarities also go to the fact that I think both of these communities care a great deal about the kids in the communities. And, you know, they want to come together and to talk about the needs of children. Here I see much more, you know, organized effort around specific needs of kids. And as I've said, I'm excited for the dialogue. Let's just make sure that we keep ourselves centered on kids and what we can do to ensure they get from us what they need. But, you know, I think all told, there's probably more similarity than there are differences. I would also say difference that I also see is here in Madison, you know, there are, I've referred to it as, in many ways, we're a tale of two school districts. We're from the kid side. You know, we have many kids that have significant resources in their personal lives and a lot of support in what they need to be good learners. And we also have kids that are experiencing family financial issues, significant poverty-related issues. And, you know, Madison Metropolitan School District now has 44% of its children on free and reduced lunch. And I think that's been a big shift for our community here, but it's also one that I saw in the Green Bay Area Public School District. And again, I'm hoping because of seeing those shifts and working with those shifts and helping the community understand the changing demographic that, you know, I'm hoping that I can add value to the conversation about what we need to do for the children here.
When you talk about 44% of students in the Madison School District on free and reduced lunch, does that surprise a lot of people?
You know, when I share that statistic, Darrell, with people, at times I feel I'm getting the reaction I might as well be talking about a different community, because I don't think many, you know, not everyone understands how the community is shifting. You know, many people do, so let me make sure I say that. But this is not the community that a lot of Madisonians are used to, have had experience with. You know, and it's going to be a part of our community likely forever. And let me give you one statistic.
Sure.
To kind of support that. Right now, 17 of our 32 elementary schools have 50% or more of their children qualifying for free or reduced lunch. You know, and you know, that's a significant change from what this community has been used to. You know, and our obligation has to be to ensure that all, you know, we're working to ensure that all kids reach our standards within the curriculum. You know, we cannot afford to focus on only the kids that are successful, although I'm very quick to say we better focus on the kids that are successful as well and help them learn the next things that they need to learn. But the challenge here, if Madison is to remain a strong community, is to ensure that dual focus, that, you know, kids that are doing well, that we advance their learning, at the same time that we face our very significant achievement gaps, in particular for children of poverty background. I mean, it's not just the poverty in and of itself, but it's the effect that it has on kids and their learning. And our obligation as a school system needs to be to do all we can to eliminate the relationship between poverty and achievement, but we need a lot of help with that. And we need to engage with this community together to do what's right for these kids.
Madison School Superintendent Dan Nierad joins us on Outreach on 1310 WIBA. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more. Stay tuned. You're listening to 1310 WIBA. We'll be back.
The entire community. This is Outreach on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital.
Madison School Superintendent Dan Nierad joins us on Outreach on 1310 WIBA. If you have a question for our superintendent, give us a call, 321-1310 or 1-877-235-1310. We are taking you up to about 640. And that will be the Brewers and Cardinals will be on beginning at 6:40. So this is an abbreviated version and a Monday night version of Outreach on 1310 WIBA. And Dan, before we went to the break, we were talking about the Madison School District and talking about students that are on free and reduced lunch. You know, has the amount of student diversity in the Madison School District, has that presented any unique challenges for you personally?
Well, here's what I would say is I believe that our student diversity represents our greatest asset, and at the same time, there are challenges. But let me talk first about the asset side of diversity. You know, the world our kids are growing into, their world is a world of vast difference. And by the fact that within our school district that we have kids of all different types of backgrounds, different language types, different family types, different family income types, different race ethnic types, you know, I really believe that that can afford so much opportunity for our kids in helping them learn about the world that lies ahead of them. And, you know, certainly there are things that we can do within the curriculum, and we must do to ensure that, you know, multiple perspectives, different views, different cultural perspectives are integrated within the curriculum. We can do those things, and we must do those things. You know, but at the same time, by the fact that our learning environments are full of kids of all different types, I personally believe that this will really afford a leg up to our kids because of the world they're inheriting from us. But having said that, there are challenges as well. And, you know, they range all the way from, you know, kids that have means in their lives in the same classroom with kids that have very little in their lives and all the equity issues that go with that to the different, you know, language differences that can exist within classrooms and the challenges that exist, you know, just by the fact that kids are, you know, their native languages can also, you know, can be quite varied. You know, and then also, you know, there can be, just because of differences, you know, there can be tension at times. And our responsibility is to use that tension, as I would put it, as teachable moments, you know, for kids to learn how to deal with their differences in good and just ways, that we're helping kids learn conflict resolution skills along with the family. I would be the first to say that, you know, anytime you put more than two different people under the same roof for a period of time, there will be differences. That it really comes down to the manner in which we help young people learn how to deal with their differences. You know, we don't have that responsibility alone, Darrell, but we have, along with family and with community, a responsibility to help kids, knowing that it's an advantage to be with differences, to help them learn how to deal with their differences in good and just ways. So great opportunity, great challenges, all at the same time.
You know, you bring up a good point, Dan, because one of the things you were talking about is when you referred to diversity, you talked about, you know, language, and you talked about, you know, color. But, you know, I think some people, when they hear diversity or think of diversity, they automatically assume it's racial identity.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, it isn't.
Right.
I mean, you can have Caucasian students. One can be from a privileged background, and one can be from a not so privileged background, or you can have one that's from the city and another one from a farm. So, you know, diversity doesn't always fall into this color category, correct?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think what we have to understand is that even within color, there are differences in terms of family background. We cannot afford to treat this as kind of a monolithic issue. We have to understand that there are differences within differences, and our responsibility, again, working side by side with community and family, is to ensure that we help kids learn how to deal with all that kind of type of differences in fair and just ways. You know, and here's where I am very optimistic, because I see great examples of our young people doing that. And I'm not trying to paint a perfect world, because we know that doesn't exist. But we have great examples of student leadership in our school district where kids are learning about, you know, interacting with people from different backgrounds. They're sharing each other's experiences very well. That's both done in an organized and, in an informal way. And, you know, I'm very optimistic about this group of young people that we have in our school district, because I see their willingness to sit side by side each other. Yes, at times there can be differences that relate to tension, but let's not over-focus on that part of it, because, I'm encouraged by what I see with our students.
Madison School Superintendent Dan Neerad joins us on Outreach on 1310 WIBA. You know, last month, the Madison School District received about $11.2 million from the stimulus package. Now, first of all, are there some specific areas where the money will go to?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because there is great opportunity here, but we also have to keep in mind that there are limits with the use of these funds. The majority of the funds that have come to Wisconsin public schools have come through two main funding streams. That's not the entire amount because there are some other grant sources that school districts can apply for, and we're going to try to take advantage of as much of this as we can. But the two main streams of funds that have come directly to the school district are what's called Title I, which is mainly resources for disadvantaged children, and IDEA, which are resources for children with disabilities. And right now, we're in the process. What we've done in the first month here is to try to get a full understanding of what the permissible uses of that money, what's all allowable. Because what we want to make sure is that we're using that money consistent with the requirements that are being placed on us. There will be a lot of accountability for this additional money, as well there should be. And so first phase was to learn about what's allowable. Now what we're doing is we're going through a phase of identifying what might be possible uses of that money. And we're putting a plan together, which in fairly short order we'll bring to the Board of Education. But here's what we need to ensure with that plan. Number one, that we're using the money consistent with the federal guidelines and that we have accountability around that money. Number two, that we understand that this is two-year money, which needs to be spent by September 2011, the arrangements for spending need to be taken care of by September 2011. And, so what we need to do is be very careful that we don't use too many of the resources to create support services that cannot be funded 2 years out. So we're very careful about how we can use this money. It may not be entirely, but we're looking at where we can around one-time funding needs consistent with both Title I and IDEA.
Madison School Superintendent Dan Neerad joins us on 1310 WIBA. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more with the Madison School Superintendent. And also, Sue, I know you're holding. Please hold on for the next break. We will get to your call next. You're listening to 1310 WIBA.
This is Outreach with Darrell Connor. Outreach is sponsored by St. Mary's Hospital on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Welcome back to Outreach. I'm your host, Darrell Connor, taking you up to 6:40, and that will be the Brewers versus the Cardinals in their makeup game from last Friday. Before we get back to the superintendent, we have a caller. Sue, you're on with Outreach. Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to ask the question, first statement, that my kids go to a private school here in Madison, and not too long ago, probably about 6 weeks ago, we got a survey in the mail asking us, why our child is in private school and could we think of anything that would have our child switch over to the public schools and many other questions like that. And I just wanted to ask Mr. Neerad, could you kind of give us the audience a little bit of a summation of what your research showed in this, handing out all these things to all the parents of private students?
First of all, thank you very much for asking that question. What I can tell you right now is we did that to learn what's on our community's mind, mm-hmm. especially when they make choices other than our school district. We respect those choices. We realize that people have a right to have their children attend other types of schools. But if there's something about our effort that could help us improve, we wanted to know that.
Right.
And so we did that survey. That information is actually being analyzed as we speak, and it should not be very long. I'm hoping within a couple weeks we should have that data complete. And my intent is to present the results of that publicly to the Board of Education. And so we're just not quite there yet with the results, but I can assure you, as well as the other listeners, when we have the results, they will be publicly expressed.
Very good. I thought that was a very fresh idea to send out that questionnaire like that. So I look forward to listening to the results.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, we're very much wanting to reach out in this way, and we hope that we can learn a great deal. I know that we will, just by, you know, people being very candid with us. You know, we'll understand why are people making the choices they're making.
Thank you for the call, Sue. We have a couple minutes left, and I did not want to let you get out of here without asking you about your strategic plan for the Madison School District. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I love to talk about that. In January, we brought over 60 people together for a three-day planning effort. The goal was to be very open, engaging the public around the priorities for the school district going forward. Probably since those 3 days in January, we've added probably another 40 people to help us develop what they call action plans. And what this process is allowing us to do is to take a look at where we are right now. What is our mission? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? Where do we need to improve? And we really have identified, I'm going to say, you know, there's been five critical issues that have been identified, and we have five strategies that we're going to put together in a final report, present that to the Board of Education on June 15th. And then that will be our roadmap once the board understands the plan and approves the plan. You know, that can be our guiding force, our roadmap going forward. The conversation has been great with the community about there's a lot of care for the school district, but there's also a need to express how we need to improve going forward.
Thank you so much, Superintendent Dan Urad, for coming on the show tonight. We will hope to have you on the show in the near future so we can talk more about the issues surrounding the Madison School District. But thank you for coming on. I hope we do it again soon.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for having me, and I look forward to more discussion going forward.
All righty. Thank you. That is all for the show tonight. Stay tuned for the Brewers and Cardinals. We will see you next week. Good night, everybody.